Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Full Spectrum Cannabis. Your hosts are here today. We've got Calandra and Lance. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, too.
That's a throwback to the last one where Calandra was in trial, and we're like, gosh, she's busy, and then you were busier than busy.
Yeah, that whole lawyer thing just really fucks up the whole schedule, doesn't it?
It can. Yeah. It can, but then we've got Sam as a backup, so Sam jumped
That's
in.
That's right.
We had a little bit of fun last episode, and now we're here to have more fun. Who do we have?
We have Matt DeLong from Star Tribune. Ooh. He is the author of Nuggets, and he's done so many other writings about cannabis, so he's a very, very special guest.
Sure. Well, I think we should get into what Nuggets is.
I think so.
Yeah. What is Nuggets, man?
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course.
Nuggets is a free weekly newsletter that I write. It comes out every Friday morning where I'm just updating you on the any news that happens every week on the legal cannabis scene in Minnesota. And sometimes I interview business owners or policymakers or, anybody really who is involved in the legal cannabis scene here in Minnesota. That's kind of what it is.
Sweet.
And Matt he's interviewed me briefly before.
I did.
Yeah.
He likes me better than you.
I don't doubt that.
I know you better than
This is true. This is
like
true.
Everybody.
He's great. I think we first met at, was it the Women in Breakfast?
Yes.
Cannabis?
The Blunt Strategies Women in Cannabis thing.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
That's the first place.
Quite a while ago.
It was. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Are you from Minnesota? Oh, really?
No, I'm not from Minnesota.
Sounds like somebody that's from Wisconsin.
I hope he's from Wisconsin.
When you say no so fast.
I know.
It's usually Wisconsin, but what is it, Matt?
Upstate New York, actually.
That's another
one.
Yeah.
It's even better. I love New York.
Right. Yeah. Wisconsin is where the East Coast starts.
Sure.
I'll take that.
No, I grew up in upstate New York. I went to college in northern Arizona, and I graduated from college in 2008 and immediately got a job covering the McCain campaign for a little online news startup out of D.C. I moved to D.C. after that and was there for about 6 years, worked for the Washington Post for 4.5 years, and then came here, got a job at the Star Tribune, and I've been here for the last 10. So
okay, so 6 at the Post.
4.5 at the Post, 6 in D.C. Yeah.
Got it. 4.5 at the Post, and then 10 here.
Yeah.
At the Star Tribune.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. That's a good run so far, huh?
Yeah.
You've been having fun with it?
Yeah, I'm having a great time. So we've been doing Nuggets for the last year and change. I think the first one came out in late September or early October of 2023. I think when we started it, we were hoping we'd be a little closer to the launch of the retail market,
right?
Which now seems to be still a ways away. Mm-hmm. But I'm having a great time doing it. I've really enjoyed covering the industry and meeting all the people in it and seeing all the cool things that are going on.
So. Yeah. So Nuggets has been going on for a little while, right? And and so we'll take the opportunity now. How does somebody sign up for Nuggets?
Thank you for asking that.
Yeah.
You go to startribune.com/nuggets, and there's just a little sign up form, and enter your email, and you will start receiving it.
That sounds easy. And, sometimes we're a little forgetful, so we'll make sure it's in the show notes. Just look down below, and that's where you'll find it.
Appreciate that.
And then you can follow Matt and all of the different ways and flavors that you might think about, but it'll probably just be his LinkedIn profile page that's down there. And then you can go off from there, which I'm sure will be fun. But go ahead.
Just a quick question. How many subscribers do you think you have now to Nuggets?
Last I checked, it was like a bit over 11,000.
Oh, that's a good number.
It's a good size, yeah. I mean, there's, the open rate goes up and down some, signed up through the website that I just mentioned, startribune.com/nuggets. Others came in through promotions on Facebook and whatnot. And I found since we started adding large numbers of people who sign up through the promotions that the open rate isn't as consistently high as it used to be. But the people who at first were just signing up through the website, they were opening it at a very high rate. So right. I think, you know, it's being well read and the list is growing. So I'm happy. I kind of consider all of this just pregame for when retail sales do start. And I think then it'll really shine. But, you know, I'm having a good time doing it right now.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, an engaged following is usually a pretty organic following. And so then when you start doing a little bit more marketing of it, yeah. and it would be to be expected, right?
Yeah, I think so. It was new to me because I haven't ever done any of that kind of promotion. But
yeah.
I'm happy with it.
Well, there's a lot of folks that are out there, you know, the Super Bowl came to town some years ago, right? And we're like, well, how are we going to make some money? So I started driving for Uber. I'm like, let's just capitalize on this. I'm sure I could make a quick grand or two, right? Something right. like that. Well, the same thing kind of happens with newsletters. It's like you find the subject, you figure out what it is that you're passionate about writing about, you know, finding more information about, putting it together. How lucrative do you think that it is? How hard do you think that it might be to, you know, you're on the inside of it, right? What's it like to put out a weekly newsletter? How much work do you think that it actually ends up being? Like, is it something, you know, like, I don't know, what's your best practice for it?
Yeah. I mean, it varies from week to week. This week was obviously the election, and I was, you know, working on that stuff on election night. So, you know, I didn't have as much time this week that I would normally have, but it's a decent chunk of my week. And especially if I'm, you know, doing an interview, I have to like transcribe that. I mean, I may go to some, you know, visit a shop or, mm-hmm. you know, go meet with somebody who is, you know, starting a business or something like that. So that can take time, you know,
yeah.
travel. I did for the first edition, I drove up to White Earth Nation to see their, operation up there. This was back when it was very new. It was, you know, in September of 2023.
Yep.
So, you know, I spent a lot of time on that one just driving.
So,
it's 4.5 hours from here. So
good old windshield time.
Yeah. But I mean, generally it'll be, you know, a substantial chunk of my week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was this your first time covering cannabis, or have you covered cannabis like in New York or D.C.? Because it's legal in mm-hmm. D.C. So did you do any work in D.C.?
No, I actually left D.C. immediately after Election Day in 2014, which was when it was, you know, people voted to legalize it there. Mm-hmm. So I was not living in D.C. at any point when it was legal. This is my first experience covering cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I think it's super fun. I mean, this is a fairly major societal change and experiment that's happening. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very interesting to watch what, you know, almost certainly will be a $1 billion industry that springs up more or less overnight. So kind of, you know, following it closely from the beginning has been really interesting, and I feel really lucky to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And then my bosses like allow me to do it.
So. Yeah, isn't that great, right? It's like being the wine and spirits writer.
Yeah. You
know? It's like, well, I don't know. Might have had a little bit too much of the wine tasting today. Let's get you a lift home. The cannabis side of it. So you learn a lot while you're asking the questions and, mm-hmm. and doing all of that, but what's your relationship with the plant?
Well, I mean,
everybody loves asking it's, that when yeah. you're on the
no,
clock.
I've been asked this yes. question before, and I'll be honest with you. Like, I mean, I do consume cannabis. I have, you know, for quite a long time. I don't think it's a very big deal.
Right.
You know, it's a legal product for adults to use. As long as, you know, your activities are within the bounds of the law, I don't mm-hmm. see it as a very big deal, you know. But, I mean, it's something I've always been kind of interested in. And, you know, the idea for doing this newsletter kind of came out of a trip to Denver when I was, I think I went there for a conference, and it was my first time being in Colorado since legalization. And I was just flipping through the Denver Westword, which is the, you know, the Denver's city pages, you know, and I was flipping through it and I saw that it was just completely full front to back with, you know, full color cannabis ads, which, you know, these pages, color pages are expensive to print. So like they're making some money doing it. And I was just kind of struck like, you know, wow, this is, you know, legal cannabis is going to save journalism. And so that was kind of like the first thought I had that, like, you know, we need to be thinking about the eventuality where, you know, it's most likely when, not if, cannabis will be legalized in Minnesota. We at the Star Tribune should, you know, have a plan for that and, you know, and cover it. And another thing that I noticed as things started turning, bills were getting introduced and people were talking about it more and more. We were doing more stories about the possibility of cannabis being legalized in Minnesota. You know, almost every story that we did just had like traffic through the roof.
Right.
And it, you know, it was clear to me that like there's an audience here that is like hungry for more information. And so the question became, how do we serve that audience? You know, there's probably limited space in the newspaper for, you know, you're not, we're not going to be doing cannabis stories every day.
Right.
But there's a lot happening and there's a lot of like micro, you know, developments happening all the time. And, you know, if there's stuff happening, but it doesn't necessarily warrant a full news story, but there is an audience that wants that information, like how do we give that to them? And so we were talking about it and I thought a newsletter was a good starting point where we could kind of dip our toe into the water. Mm. Whereas like the Denver Post, when it legalized there, they kind of, you know, did a cannonball and, you know, launched a whole vertical. They had a cannabis editor and all this stuff. And ultimately all that stuff folded. So I wanted to be a bit more, you know, cautious and start small. And if warranted, we can, you know, build it out. But so far the response has been good. People seem to like the newsletter, so I'm very happy with it.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The newsletter, it's very informative. Where did you get the name Nuggets from?
That was my idea. I mean, so it's a little double entendre, you know. If you came of age in the mid-90s and early 2000s, as I did, like, Nuggets was a term that, you know, people use to refer to, you know, high-quality cannabis. You know, it's the word nugs, which, you know, the kids are more familiar with. You know, when we first announced it, some of the younger people were like, nobody calls it Nuggets. Like, what does this even mean? Well, some people did, you know, or do. So that was my idea, and I just wanted to have something. It's a, you know, double entendre in that it refers to a slang term for cannabis, but also it's kind of a description of what the newsletter is, and that it's just like chunks of information broken out, and I thought it fit well, and my bosses went for it. So
yeah, I love congrats on that. I think it's a good name, right?
It's a great name. I knew great what name. It meant.
But Nugs, right?
I was thinking this is classic.
You're always looking for nugs, not the bricks exactly. That floated up on the shores of the of the beach that just fell off of the certain boats back in the day. I mean, that happened.
And I still say nuggets.
Right.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people do, but
yeah,
for the people in my age cohort, it rings true.
Sure.
Are you trying to give away my age, Matt?
No. Well, no.
I think he's trying to give away my age.
You do that well on your own. You can go back a few episodes.
I can't help it that I'm 30.
Nobody, if anybody has their, if you're looking through the camera at us right now, Calandra's 30. You know it.
30. Mm-hmm. I'm 30. I was 30 last year, too.
I know.
Yeah.
Your years.
Yeah. So Matt, you cover some great stories. I've read some great stories that that you've published. So what are some of the challenges that you've had in like getting information about cannabis?
Well, I mean, okay, so right now Minnesota is in kind of an interesting place where we have this fairly well-developed hemp-derived market with lots of businesses producing all kinds of products. And You know, we have that, and we have this legal adult use market, which is just getting stood up. You know, the Office of Cannabis Management is still developing the rules and staffing up, and so there's not a ton of regulation happening. And then, in addition to that, we have this like tribal market, where the, you know, Minnesota tribes are getting into the cannabis business in increasing numbers. And so, you know, for the hemp market and the presumably for the adult use market, we'll have, you know, fairly easier time getting information from people. You know, the it's all going to be regulated by the government. There are open records laws. We can get data that the government is compiling and all that. But in the tribal market, it's a little bit of a, you know, we don't have great visibility into what what's happening. And it's the only game in town right now for,
right.
Mm-hmm. for adult use cannabis. They can, you know, they control the market completely. And I think, unfortunately, you know, they have not been super transparent about, not all of the tribes, but many of the tribes that are currently operating. They've been very tight-lipped about, you know, their operations, in some cases about the products that they're selling and about the sources of the products that they're selling. And so we don't have a lot of recourse with the tribes. Like if they want to say, no, go away, we're not going to talk to you, they can do that. And, you know, I think in some cases it's certainly in their interest to talk to us since we are, you know, talking to a lot of their customers and whatnot and providing information to their customers. But I'd say that's been the biggest challenge, is like getting information about products for the customers. I view, you know, the people who are buying these products in many cases are reading our newsletter, and that's kind of who I view as our audience, is just right. the broader, you know, consumer base for the market. So, I mean, just today, you know, this week we have a new dispensary that just opened in Morton, Minnesota, in southwestern Minnesota, called Off the Path. It's been opened by the Lower Sioux Indian community. And, you know, you look at their menu and, you know, there's cannabis flower, there's cannabis concentrates, which they are unquestionably allowed to sell. It's, you know, they can set their own rules and laws. Mm-hmm. Clear information about, you know, what the products that are being sold are, where they come from, you know, are they being tested, you know, for contaminants like mold, pesticides, fertilizers, that sort of thing. That has been a real challenge when dealing with the tribes. And I hope, like, as they start negotiating tribal compacts with the state that may allow them to sell cannabis products outside of tribally controlled lands, that, you know, they will be a bit more transparent about their products.
Right, because they get to regulate
yes.
themselves yeah. as their absolutely. Own governing nation, right? Mm-hmm. To sale in that I have the seed, we know where the seed came from. It could come from somewhere else, right? There's no regulation that says that it couldn't come from, you know, Michigan if it came from Michigan, or if it came from Arizona, the seed itself, right? But that seed goes into the ground or into a facility in Minnesota, grown in Minnesota, and then from then until the time that it hits the shelf, that seed to shelf or that seed to sale is really all Minnesota, mm-hmm. right? Isn't that something that was within that bill?
Yeah, and I think the state is going to be using metrics,
mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, nobody yeah. wants metric, but yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I think that's who they're going to go with.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
To monitor all of that, yeah.
Right, and so that has to happen, but really I was kind of jumping off on, it came from Arizona, there's a bunch we can talk about
you know,
there.
I read that this morning, and I didn't have enough time to like kind of ponder mm-hmm. what was going on because I had to jump on a hearing.
Yeah.
But I was reading that, and I'm thinking, how can that happen? Because you can't transport flower from state to state. I know there was some case law in Martha's Vineyard mm-hmm. About, because they had some issues getting the supply to the island, mm-hmm. and there was some case law that allowed them, with cannabis and maritime yeah. law, to allow them to move the product from the island to the shore.
Got it.
But I don't think that we can do that yet. And I assume, you know, in my lawyer brain, I assume some lawyers are going to try to take that case law and try to incorporate it somewhere in the U.S. for those states that have legal cannabis to try to maneuver how to move flower from state to state.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the issue is that the federal government has jurisdiction over interstate commerce and moving, you know, consumer goods across state lines falls under the jurisdiction of the federal government, just as in Massachusetts. The federal government has jurisdiction over the seas. So in the case of transporting cannabis to Martha's Vineyard, you know, you can't go from, you know, part of Massachusetts to another part of Massachusetts without going through the federal government. And the federal government was saying, no, you can't do this. So, I mean, that's kind of where things stand right now. You know, presumably, If there's movement on federal legalization, you know, the restrictions on transporting cannabis across state lines will be different than they are now. But as it stands, you're not supposed to cross state lines.
Right.
There's no way to do it legally.
Right. So not being done legally, as far as we know. Happy that it's here. I mean, I get a question several times a week, you know, are you going to go into recreational cannabis? Are you going, you know, from the hemp side of the market? Are you going to do that? When are we going to have flower? We should talk about that in one quick second here. But there is flower in certain, you know, up at Red Lake. I was, you know, I would have been able to purchase some flower up there. I don't think that I did at that moment, but I did buy a vapeable, you know, I bought a cart or a disposable or whatever vape when I was up there, and that was great. But it's coming from somewhere else, which is fine, right, for the consumer, as long as it's been tested and all of those things, and we don't need to be super scary about it. But we're just making sure that we're ingesting quality goods is really all it comes down to.
One of the things Matt is referring to is, there's no testing results
being released. We don't know. I want to be very clear. Like, I don't, you know, I spent a couple of days trying to figure out what these products are that they're selling, where they come from, whether they're being tested. And, you know, I didn't get a lot of, like, concrete information. And to me, that's kind of a problem. I feel like if you're a customer, you know, who wants to buy cannabis from a licensed dispensary, you have some expectations that these products have been grown by somebody with a license that is, you know, being regulated by the government, and they are required to have these products tested in certain ways, you know, testing for, you know, bad stuff like, you know, fertilizers and mold and whatnot that, you know, can cause problems for people if you ingest them. And if that's not happening, you know, I think that's certainly not what most people in the industry expect to be happening. And sorry,
no,
keep going.
No, it'll just cut.
You're fine.
It'll work out perfect.
It works out.
Always does. So
I don't have a lot of experience doing this.
That's okay.
But
we have at this moment almost 19 episodes of experience. When did we start this?
Sam literally picked us up off the street.
That's true.
Yeah. He did. Calandra and I didn't know each other. At some point we would have met each other, but we met through Sam.
When Sam was putting this thing together. Were we about to do our first episode like that day or?
The first day you met, I believe so.
I think so.
The first day, wow.
I think, yeah. Like,
yeah, go back to that pilot episode and see how we figured that out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this is worse than 90 Day Fiancé.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's a movie reference, so I don't get it.
We looked into each other's eyes, and he was just hoping it would work.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
But yeah, because, you know, of course you're used to writing. You aren't used to, you know.
No, I don't do a lot of interviews. I'm usually.
You're usually the interviewer, right? Exactly. Yeah, that's why it's fun.
It's a little different.
Right. It's so exciting to interview a journalist, right? Because it's it's different for them, right? Yeah. And if you don't do that that often, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well, let's take this opportunity to take a break. For the
is it that time?
It is.
Look at
it
go. Look at that. It's that time. Let's take the opportunity.
Okay.